That we've tagged the God who wants you to know Him. And we've covered aspects that only God can have. The fact that He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He's ever-present. And He is sovereign. Excuse me. He is totally in control. We're going to turn a corner this morning, and we're going to talk about God who wants us to know Him and be like Him. And I want us to talk about righteousness and what that looks like. God is righteous. It's just His character. It's who He is. When He's always right. Scriptures tell us, righteous are You, O Lord. And Your laws are right. The statutes You have laid down are righteous. They are fully trustworthy. You know, we live in a culture, in a society today that cares very much about being right in certain areas. I'll give you, for instance, on the other coast at Mission Control, the Space Center. When they send some people up and bring them back, there is a certain right window that they have to do that in, or else the spaceship will get so hot it will burn up. They care about that right window. When people in cities build skyscrapers, they very much care that the engineers build the right foundation to hold the weight of that building up. They want to get it right. But when it comes to other areas of our lives, like our morality, that's a different story. We live in a society today that it's so hard to tell right from wrong. It's no longer black and white. It's many shades of gray. Let me explain to you what I mean. Morality-wise, God says, do not steal. Right? That's one of the commandments of God. But do we think of taking anything that's not ours, well, let's say it's company. We'll take home stuff that doesn't belong to us. After all, it's little. It doesn't make any difference. They have millions. We have less. And so we rationalize actually stealing. My parents taught me if I took an eraser that didn't belong to me, I was stealing. Let me ask you, you go to the store and you walk out and you realize that they have given you back more money than they should have. Cashier's going to come up wrong at the end of the day. Do you walk out saying, man, I made out today? Or do you walk back in and give it back? You know what we live in? We live in a day and age where morality is, we call it situational. It's situational ethics. It depends upon the situation whether it's right or wrong. For instance, lying. Is it wrong to tell somebody a lie if it will make them feel better? Now, we struggle with this day in and day out. God says, you don't bear false witness. You don't tell a lie. You tell the truth in love. That's who we are. As Christ followers, our call is never to lie. But we live in a culture that has situational ethics. It's okay to lie if it doesn't hurt the person. Tell you another one. God's word says, do not commit adultery. And the bottom line in that is, there is no sex outside of marriage. Marriage is a man and a woman. Right? That's what God's ethics are. But we rationalize it today and say, well, we're intending to get married. Or, come on, it's your body, you can do what you want to. What does God know? Situational ethics. You know, we have lived in a culture that has saturated us, and we have to get back to the fact that God's laws are right. God is always right. He is a righteous God, and He calls us to righteousness. Righteousness is the character or quality of being right or just. It was new to me that when I began to do the word search and studies on this, that every time the word just is used in the Old Testament especially, it's a synonym. It's the same as righteousness. When God is being righteous, He is just being His character. That is who He is. But trying to define some of this, God's nature is holy and just and yes, righteous. But righteousness is more the way He acts. Because He is holy and just, He acts in a righteous way. And God calls you and I to live a righteous life. Jesus said this, seek first the kingdom of God and His what? Righteousness. Now this is in the Sermon on the Mount, and He's saying basically this, your goal is to seek the rightness, the righteousness of God. I can't be all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, and sovereign. That's a God thing. But you know what He calls me and you to? He calls us to live righteously. And He says we need to be about seeking, desiring, going after the righteousness of God. Seeking His laws, His way in our life. He goes on and He says in that same section, that sermon, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Let me ask you, do you have a real desire to be righteous for God's sake, to follow His ways and His laws, or is it the world's way? Now, the world wants to be right in some areas, but let me tell you, the world is completely off when it comes to the righteousness of God in the moralities of today. Which standard do you live by? What is your goal? He goes on, he says, unless our righteousness exceeds the religious people of that day, the Pharisees, they were so religious. Unless your righteousness exceeds, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, what is that? Is that a standard that I have to work up to? No. Let me just give you an invitation. What if I personally came to you and said it's a beautiful day today for us to go sailing? And you say, Dave, you know how to sail? And I said, sure do. You can bet your barnacles I know how to sail. And you say, well, I didn't even know you were interested in sailing. I didn't know you knew how to sail. And so I pull out of my wallet a picture of my great-grandfather on a beautiful sail ship. I said, that's my grandfather. He was a sailor, my great-grandfather. And you said, Dave, did he teach you how to sail? And I said, no, he died before I was born. Well, Dave, how do you know how to sail? And so I go fetch this big leather-bound book on everything you wanted to know about sailing. I said, see this leather book? It's about sailing. I have read it from cover to cover. I know everything there is about sailing. And you say, I'm not sure you're a sailor just because you read this. And then I go on and tell you, listen, you want proof that I am a sailor? So I take and roll up my sleeve and I display for you a tattoo with a mermaid on an anchor. And I say, there it is. There's proof that I am a sailor. How many of you want to go sailing with me this afternoon? There's a couple. You start to think that, Dave, you don't know what you're talking about. You might have a family member that was a sailor. You might have read a book on sailing. You might have a symbol that you have tattooed to your body, but that does not make you a sailor. Can I tell you, when Jesus said hunger and thirst for righteousness, he was talking to some people. They cared about their pedigree. They kept their lineage. And they could trace it all the way back to their father Abraham. Their pedigree was very important to them. I wonder how much of us are depending upon our righteousness with our religious pedigree. My mom and dad, my grandma and grandpa, pictures. They were dedicated Christians. They were churchgoers. They were religious people. And we think about our pedigree. The Jewish people thought very much about the Torah. In fact, they were taught from an early age to memorize the Torah. Now, I'm talking about the first few books of the Old Testament. Genesis, 50 chapters long. Exodus, 40 chapters long. They memorized this and put it to memory. They were very proud of the fact they knew their Torah. I wonder how many of us are counting on our righteousness because how much we know about the Bible. You've been in how many sermons, how many studies, Bible studies. How much do you know the Bible? You're priding your righteousness on knowing the book. They did. What about us? Well, I know what the Bible says. Can I tell you, it's not how much you know, it's how much we live. It's not about coming to church, it's about being the church. And we get that confused. The Jewish people were very focused on their symbol of relationship with God, and that was circumcision. They were very proud that they were circumcised as males, and their families fell under their relationship with God. They were very proud of that. I wonder how many of us are proud of our church membership. You know, isn't it interesting that we start talking to people today about Christianity? What's the first thing they talk about? Church. Not their relationship with God, but church. Are you depending upon your church membership, your church attendance, in your righteousness of God? What are we putting our trust in? God calls us to be righteous. He says, unless our righteousness goes beyond that of the Pharisees, they were the most religious people, and the Sadducees, we're not going to make it. So we better figure out what it means to be righteous. Can I tell you, righteousness is living life God's way. His standards, His Spirit, His Son is my example. And you can't be righteous by your religious pedigree. It doesn't matter what your family has done, how much they taught you. It's great that they did, but what is your righteousness dependent upon? It's not about how much Bible you know. It's how much Jesus we live. That's really where it's at. And righteousness doesn't come from trusting a religious symbol or a sign. Some of us have come from backgrounds where we just can't let go of those symbols and those signs that we were taught growing up. But where is your righteousness and mine based in? God calls us to this. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become what? You know, the only righteousness that you and I have was paid for by Jesus. It's not anything we do. It's already done. It's already done for us. And I can't make my righteousness up. God gives it to me. He gives it to you. Here's the difference. When God looks at us, and we who have died to ourselves, we've just sung the song about death and dying, and life began when I died. Life began for me when I surrendered myself to what Jesus had done, and I committed myself to following Jesus Christ. I believed and I confessed. I repented. I began to turn away from sin. I was baptized into Christ. I died to sin so that I might live in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What about you? What is your righteousness that God has called you and I to? What is it based on? You're being here in church this morning? You're reading the Bible this past week? You're hanging out with religious people, church people? Or is it about your relationship with God through Jesus Christ? There's an old hymn that talks about our position of righteousness. And when I say that, here's what this old hymn used to say. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. That kept coming back to me. Some of those hymns are grand. They have some great messages. And I believe this is "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." Diane, you can correct me if I'm wrong. But that verse kept coming back in my mind. And here's what it is. Our position of righteousness is not anything that we can do. You know, the biggest struggle is we try to live in the flesh instead of the power and the truth that God has for us. I, as a kid, grew up in partly in the shadow of Lookout Mountain, Tennessee, there in Chattanooga. And I got invested in the Civil War. Used to dig up mini balls on the side of Lookout Mountain. But growing up and reading into that horrible war, I began to understand that was my first brush with slavery. I don't know if any of you have ever gotten up close and personal firsthand with slavery. I haven't. I haven't been in a country where people were slaves. As an American, I've only known what you've known, this freedom that we have and that we take so for granted. And I believe slavery is probably one of the ugliest things that I have read about, understood. I've seen it on TV. I've experienced some of it that way, the horrors of slavery. But here's what, in reading about the Civil War and all that was fought about it, there were a lot of issues, not just the slaves. But what happened after the war is amazing. I don't know if you realize this, but especially in the South, on some of the bigger plantations, that after the war, life kept going just like it was before the Civil War. With all those people that died, the two sides, the price that it paid to really rip the country apart. There were slaves that continued, not in their freedom, but they continued to live and work the fields, and nothing ever changed for them. And they would talk to them, you know, President Lincoln has issued the Emancipation Proclamation. They didn't even know what that was, and they continued their life in slavery. They died in slavery even though they were made free. Blows me away that Americans who just about 150 years before the Civil War fought a battle against England to win their freedom, but they didn't understand giving that freedom away to other people. I wonder how many of us who have been blessed with the freedom of being sinless because of what Jesus did on the cross don't realize, now that we have it, there are others that are slave to sin. Folks, there are people that are blind and they can't see what we see. They don't know the Jesus that we know. They don't know what it means to be positionally righteous. God says, Paul does, in Romans, the righteous shall live by what? Faith. Faith is not any works that I do. It's really a surrender and a submission to what I have in Jesus Christ. You want to know what it means for me to live in faith? It's getting up each day and saying this, I'm yours. I'm yours. I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'm yours. You lead, I'll follow. You've given me an example in Jesus Christ. You've given me what I need in the Word, and you've given me the power of the Spirit living in. That just surrender and submitting to what God has already given to me in my life. He sees me positionally as righteous. Do you realize that's living out righteousness, is just living like this? You know what the battle is? My flesh. My own selfish desires, so is yours. And it's every day, hour by hour, person by person, situation by situation, I live surrendered to God. You know, you'd be crazy if you'd wanted to go on a sailing trip with me. But how many of you would want to go fly a plane with me if it only had one wing? You'd take one look and say, I'm not getting on it. Right? Can I tell you what we try to do? We try to fly through the week with planes with one wing. Can I tell you what the two wings of my life are? Besides, I get with you in fellowship, but the two wings of my life are the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And you cannot live a righteous life in your flesh. What if you were foolish enough to go sailing with me this afternoon? And we went out, and I got the little motor started, and went out into the ocean, and I only put the sail up about this high, and I started blowing on it. You'd say, what in the world are you doing? You know what? I was trying to sail under my own power. You think that's ridiculous? You walking out of the house tomorrow without the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God is much more foolish. It is. But here's the deal. You are freed from sin, and Satan doesn't want you to know that. If you are a disciple of Christ, you are following Jesus, you belong to Him, and you're following Him, and you're on His mission to share truth with other people, you desperately need the Word and the Spirit, but you need to know you're free. Satan doesn't want you to know it. He wants to keep you from it. Can I give you an assignment for the week? Turn to Romans chapter 6 in your Bibles before we leave. Romans chapter 6. God wants us to live by the power of the Word and the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you this week to read through Romans 6 at least a couple times. A couple times. Paul starts out, he says, what shall we say then? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When I came to faith and I surrendered myself to Jesus as the Lord of my life, I died to Dave so that I could live for Christ. Now, and then he tells me what happens. If you've been united with him like in his death, then you will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. And if you go on down, because verse 7 says, because one who has died has been what? Are we still slaves living on the plantation like nothing's ever changed? Or do you know that you're free because of what Jesus did? Verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin but alive to God. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its desires. Don't offer your body as a part to sin. Bottom line is this. Our God is a righteous God. That's the very character. He is holy. We're going to be covering that in a few weeks. He's just. We're going to be talking about that. He's judge. That's a hard one. God is judge. But he's just. He doesn't give me what I deserve. He gives me an amazing love. We'll talk about that. But here's what God calls us to. We're going to begin this corner of the God who wants us to know him, wants us to be like him, and he wants us to be righteous. And you can't be righteous without the Spirit of God and the Word of God in your life. You'll never get off the ground. You'll never fly without God's Spirit working in you. Are you a person who hasn't realized you have been freed from sin? You have come to faith in Jesus. If you haven't, we'd love to talk to you this morning. You have come to faith and trust in your... I didn't mean you got it all down. It's not how much Bible we know, but we're gonna seek God's Word. These ways, we begin with that verse. God's laws are right. God is always right. Why do you start looking for the wrong in the world? God is righteous, and he calls you and I to righteousness. We live righteous, not in what we've done, but what in Jesus has done for us. You are free to live a life in Christ. God sees you positionally. When he looks at you, he looks through his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? And Satan wants you, look, you sinned. You're not a Christian. You're not a disciple of Jesus. I am not flawless because of what I've done. It's what he's done. He's already done it. I just need to live a righteous life this week, and so do you. We live it in the power of the Word of God, guiding us through the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, it's really tough to put our arms around this. Some of this is so unlike the world. I mean, for you to love me, even though I am unlovable, for you to keep forgiving me when I keep on struggling with sin, it's hard for me to understand. I have, through the power of what Jesus has done, the ability to overcome the sin in my life. I am freed from that. I just need to surrender to you, surrender to your word and your spirit. Father, I thank you for the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ. But I pray that we will live righteously this week and we'll hang out in Romans 6 just to see how much. It's kind of like our emancipation from sin. Help us to understand that and better yet, apply it to our lives so that we want to live righteously by you, for you, in your Son, Jesus, whose precious name we pray. Amen.